Hallelujah. You may be seated. We do thank the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless His holy name that we've been here. This has been just an inspiration to me and to Arlene. This church, the move of God, your pastor and his wife, thank you for yielding to the Spirit and praying and fasting. I thank God for Pastor Gibson and Sister Gibson and this church, the musicians, the elders, the ushers, every one of you. I've looked at this building and looked at the stained windows and just look up and I say, oh Lord, I thank you. This is just so beautiful. And the moving of the Spirit, I just thought as Pastor Gibson was leading us in that, we'll give him all the glory. If I lived here, this is where I'd want to come to church. I thank God for him and his consecration and hers. You may not travel or you may not travel as much as we do, and we're just in churches just all the time. But how much you have to appreciate here. We go to churches where you can't preach. It's just, you're just choked. There's no spirit. There's no move. And no one stands up. Everyone sits. And if you were to stand and begin to worship, one night we had about 100 visitors come in this one particular church because we'd been in that area and we went back to this new church. So we'd been a lot of areas in the surrounding towns. We had about 100 visitors and they came in like you would and stand and begin to sing and clap their hands. And the minister of music didn't know what to do with it. He said, would y'all just sit down and said, we'll sing out of the hymn book. He just wasn't comfortable. I felt sorry for him. He did not know what to do with a group of people that was worship. I'm talking about holiness churches. See, you'd be surprised. There's just every now and then you'll hit a good church like this one. Every now and then. You have more dry ones and more hard ones than you do easy ones. You know, it is just to be appreciated because Pastor Gibson gets up here and he just leads us in worship and the musicians, they're anointed and everybody's just doing what God's told them to do. And I know you don't take it for granted, but don't ever, because I have been in places I thought, Lord, it just helped me to get through the message. And they've come to the altar and I could not hardly get one person through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm no different there than I am here. I stay in the room except for the dinner hour. But there's a tightness. There's a binding of the Spirit. There's no move of God. So just keep praying for your pastor and the wife and all of these that are participating in the service, and pray for your church. Say, God, don't let us lose it. Don't let us lose the glory. Don't let us lose the freedom. Anoint our pastor. Anoint every song. Anoint, because this is to be treasured. This is to be treasured. It's just a blessing to us to be here. See, I feel, even though we've given out, I feel like I've taken in that I can go to the next place. And if it is a hard place, I have something in me that you have imparted that will help me fight the battle. So remember us when you pray, because they're not all like Charity Tabernacle. And ask God to be with us, because we stay whether it's tough or not. Some ground is hard. And you know, I've heard farmers say something about setting the plow a few inches deep when the ground is so hard. They say something about they'll set it to go a little deeper. I thought, Lord, sometime I'm plowing on concrete. And I want you to pray and put our names down in every prayer group you have. And don't you think that every church I go to is like this one, because it's not. And we need your prayers. And thank you for the offerings. We're endeavoring to be everything God wants us to be. And we love you so much. We're coming back September of next year. Not this year, but I wish it was. And we're coming back for the homecoming, because I've been here so long that I've got to start coming to these homecomings. Hallelujah. So we're going to come and have a glorious time in the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this pastor and his wife and every elder, the one that God is working now, the microphones and recording tapes, the ushers, every person in this church. Oh God, I thank you. And in Jesus' name tonight, as we minister, anoint the lips of your handmaiden. Oh, God, preach through the lips of clay. And I pray that by the Holy Spirit that hearts will be stirred. God, in Jesus' name, that they'll be inspired and challenged anew. And when we give this altar call, I see men and women and young people that will walk out of those pews and make a total commitment of their lives to God. In Jesus' name, shall we say amen. I want you to turn with me tonight, if you will, to Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter. And I want to preach an appeal to you. I'm preaching on unfit for battle. Unfit for battle. And I want to say to the young and the old alike, God, I heard the Holy Spirit speaking last night in prophecy about the harvest. And this one here and that one was going to be working in the harvest. We are in the last harvest period before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I had a vision of the Lord, that was one thing he told me right at the close of the vision. He said, I am coming soon. I am coming soon. And tonight, whatever you do, when I preach, I just want you to say, Lord, if you want to tell me something tonight in this sermon, I'll hear it. But I don't want anyone here to be disqualified to fight. I don't want anyone here to be a 4F. I don't want anyone here for God to say you're unfit for battle. He said, when thou goest out to battle, in the first verse, against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when you are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto the people, Hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house, and he hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. What man is he that hath planted a vineyard, and hath not eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. What man is there that hath betrothed a wife, and hath not taken her? Let him go and return into his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful, faint-hearted? Let him go, return into his house, lest his brethren's heart faint, as well as his heart. You know, as I read this, and before we get into the message, I remember hearing a story or reading it about a boy in the Second World War. And I'm sure that I heard the song, and you might have heard it. But it came out in all the newspapers. He was a boy that was a cripple. He was in a wheelchair. And he wanted to go and fight for his country so bad. And he was rejected. He was a 4F. He was disqualified. He was unfit for battle. And he wrote a song that was on the jukebox and was played over the radio. Can the U.S. use a cripple boy like me? Can the U.S. use a cripple boy like me? And they told, as they interviewed him, how he strummed the strings of the guitar and big old tears would stream down his cheeks as he would sing this from a heart that was broken. Can the U.S. use a crippled boy like me? He was crying because he had been disqualified. He was unfit, and his heart was just breaking inside of him. Dear God, have mercy tonight. Should a man elected to fight for his country. Is there anything any more heartrending than to hear the trumpet blow and to hear the sound of a call from God and for God Almighty to look at me or to look at you and look us over and look at our application? The Apostle Paul said, I call God for a record. If he were to look at our record and to look at us from the top of our head to the sole of our feet, would he say, you're disqualified, you're unfit? I don't know of anything tonight that would break my heart anymore than to know there was a holy call and God couldn't use me because for some other reason or another, I'd been disqualified. Now the priest comes out first here in this chapter, in the first few verses. He comes out to encourage them. He said, now when you go out to battle, you're going to meet a people that's more than you are. You're outnumbered. Can I say this? For every one person here tonight that's genuine, I'm not speaking of this local body when I say there's a dozen hypocrites, but I am speaking of the church world as a whole. For every person that is genuine in the church structure tonight, there are at least a dozen counterfeits. If every person who claimed to be a Christian was a Christian, was dedicated to God and to what God was doing, we could bolt down anything. We could shut down anything. We could stop anything. We could build anything. We could take the country for God. If every person that said they was a Christian was genuine, born again. He said, now when you go out, the secret of your strength will be in verse 4. He said, the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you. Listen, God is with us. He's for us. He'll fight against our enemy to save you. He said, now remember this, I am for you. If I know that God's for me, we're not afraid to pass out tracts. We're not afraid to witness. We're not afraid to talk to somebody about Jesus. He said, I am with you. I will fight for you, even though you're outnumbered, even though there's a host of demon powers in your home, on the job, up and down the streets of Indianapolis, in your town and city. He said, I am with you. He said, don't be afraid when you get up in the morning. Oh, glory to God. Go in my power. Go in my might. Go in my strength. I'm for you. Oh, Kahishahaya. Then he gives them some encouragement. Let not your hearts tremble. Fear not. Neither be you terrified. If your husband, if your wife, if the folks at the plant or the office, did you know sometimes you can sense demon powers rising up in people, in your companion sometime, in your wife, in your husband, on the job? I know one precious sister that's a member of the church we're a member of. She tells me about the harassment, about the demon powers that's in her boss, and she cries. And she said, Sister Peg and Sister Arlene, it's almost unbearable, the pressure that I feel from his spirit. I know I'm doing my job right. But listen to me, don't faint, don't be terrified, you just be sweet. Under your breath, you just be praying a prayer. You pray in tongues. You speak in tongues. You walk with God. Listen, you just soak him in prayer. Just walk in the Spirit. Just walk in the Spirit. I know I was raised in very adverse circumstances. There was not one member of my family that knew God through the power of the Holy Ghost. And 2/3 of them did not know the Lord through the power of salvation. I was hit. I was cursed. I was ridiculed. I was hit more than once. I was cursed more than once. And oh, I just went to God in prayer. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you weak? Are you heavy laden? Tell it to Jesus. I tell it to Jesus. And I weep before the throne. And I saw one after another coming into the light of holiness and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They got meaner and they got meaner and they got meaner. And they tried ostracizing me. They tried giving me the cold treatment. They tried not having anything to do with me. I was out there riding the train and sleeping on depot benches with a Bible under my head, not knowing where I was going to sleep or what I was going to eat, and needing comfort and needing someone to care. And I'd get a letter once a week from my mother. No one else. They was trying the cold treatment. If we treat her cold enough, if we're hard enough, she'll bend, she'll come back. But I had a burning call within my life, and I just put that Bible under my head. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I kept on smiling. I kept on singing. I kept on worshiping. I didn't preach to them. I didn't try to put it down their throat. I lived for God until I saw one after another come into the power of God's Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. It'll work. He said, now, then the officers come out and they began to tell him about those that were disqualified. He said, if one of you have built a house and you have not dedicated it, go on back home. You can't fight. And I said, Lord, what truth are you trying to get to us about this? Go on back home. He said their dedication was not complete. They're not qualified to fight. They hadn't dedicated everything. Dedication wasn't complete. Can I ask you this? I don't know about the tenor of your church, what the crowd on Sunday morning and the crowds on Wednesday night. There's a difference. There's a difference in the degree of dedication and commitment on Wednesday night and Sunday morning. And I'm going to tell you this, and I want you to hear me good and loud and clear. There's no excuse unless you're so sick. If we do not back God's work, if everyone took the same attitude as some do, we would have no church. We would have no pews. The lights would not be burning because their attitude is, I don't care. They may not say it, but their actions prove it. In other words, others come, they work, others come, they feel bad. But you look, that's what he said. He said, if you have not made a total dedication of your life, we can go to work, we can go to the grocery store, we can go to the mall, we can go to garage sales, we can go to business meetings, we can go to everything that we want to go to. But somehow or another, when it comes to the house of God, and it comes to Wednesday night and Sunday night, I do not believe that there should be one degree of difference on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And listen, in the name of God, I'm here to tell you, every person on the sound of my voice, if there are locks in your life, that dedication, when God wants to blow the trumpet and he needs a warrior, he's not going to get somebody that's wishy-washy, blow hot, blow cold, in and out, up and down, and don't even care enough about God to shake hands with people that come to church. I do not want you to be disqualified, but I'm here to warn you tonight that when God begins to get a soldier for the front line, he will not pick you. He will not pick you, because that's one thing that God has always demanded, and that is faithfulness to his cause. I know sometimes we don't feel good. I know sometimes there are things pressing, but hear me, everybody else manages to go. Those that are sold out to God, they come and play the instruments. Pastor David, if he would do like you, would you have as much confidence in him as you do? If you don't, if there's anything in his life, if he were to just not come on Wednesday night, say, what time? I got a headache. I don't feel good. My back hurts. My stomach's hurting a little bit. A few times like that, you know what you'd say? Same thing I'd say. He needs to pray through. He needs to get a burden. This church can't go if he don't snap. We can't have no sissy like that as our pastor. We can't have, I'd be thinking, he's going to have to touch God. And we can't have no church of him dragging his feet like that. What if he got up here at night and sung a little bit? And said, got such a headache, I don't think I'll need to sing it tonight. What if then he said, my hands are hurting. Everybody's shifting, see. Oh, I see them playing one in the Spirit of God. I know the bones are hurting and the fingers are hurting and the lips are dumb, but they're still blowing and they're still running their fingers across the piano. And Pastor David's here, sweat pouring down him. Dear God, have mercy. If they think that much about God and these precious mothers and grandmothers and dads and sons, if they think enough about the church, we're going to have to get in gear and say 100% to God. Hallelujah. We have to dedicate our talent, dedicate our time, dedicate our tithes. I want to ask you this tonight. Are you giving to God that which belongs to him? If you're not, you're in trouble. He said, you have robbed me. Now, you wouldn't think of sticking a gun in my ribs, I don't think, and taking my purse, but you're sticking a gun in God's ribs every week and taking his 10%. God said, that's mine. Now, listen to me. Don't get upset with me because I didn't write it. I pay tithes. I give above my tithes. But I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you. And I'm not here because Pastor Gibson mentioned tithes to me or told me to preach on it. Because, listen, he gets a salary whether you pay tithes or don't pay tithes. In other words, I don't preach on tithes because they come to me. He don't preach on tithes. We preach on tithes just like we preach on adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lying, idolatry. Did you notice there's one thing that I haven't heard too many preachers preach on, and that is, and I've never heard, I don't think I've ever heard anyone confess to me, they've confessed some weird stuff to me that's kept me awake at night, but I don't think I've ever had anybody confess to me I've got a covetous spirit. They've had all kind of weird ones. Lord have mercy. But how many times have you ever had someone come up to you and say, I want you to pray for me. I've got a spirit of covetousness. I want what belongs to God. I want that $10, that $20 that belongs to God. I have a covetous spirit. But did you know that he names covetous with fornicators, homosexuality, effeminate? He names covetous with idolaters. He named covetous people with liars. I'm here to tell you in the name of God, if you're not giving to him, that don't even belong to you. That should be the first thing out of your paycheck. You say, I don't have no extra. Yes, you do. You eat hamburgers, you drink Diet Pepsi's, you eat candy, you buy makeup, you buy hairspray, you buy a fishing rod, you'll buy minnows, you'll buy worms, you'll go fishing, you'll buy shotgun shells, you'll buy deer shells, you'll buy rifles, you'll buy boots, you'll buy a tent, you buy anything you want. Let me tell you tonight, you won't stand before God and say, I just could not do it. You don't want to, but you have to do it or you're going to be lost. You're disqualified. Every young person in this church tonight, when I and every older person, dad and mama, when I give this altar call, if you have been withholding from God that 10 little old cents, he could have asked you for 90 and give you 10. Did you know you'll be blessed? You say, well, sister, now listen to me, well, ladies, if you do not work and your husband doesn't, he's a sinner. I know you cannot pay tithes for him unless he allows you to, because he is the husband, he is the head. But if you work, you can pay your tithes. And if you can, you talk him out of everything else. Talk him out of that. You'll kiss him and make chocolate pies to get yourself a new dress. Kiss him and make him a coconut pie and get the tithes. Y'all can work him and manipulate him and con him to get everything else. Get the tithes. It's getting quiet in here. Some of you are not liking this, and I'm going to tell you, I'm just sorry you don't like it. See, we can just spit and spew and holler and dance when I preach on whoremonging and fornication and sucking cigarettes and guzzling beer, but I'm going to tell you, that's just as much truth. God said you've robbed me in tithes and in offerings. How did you know if everybody in this church paid tithes, we'd have a surplus for the missionaries, we could do anything, there'd never be a shortage. He said, you go back home if you're not totally committed. He said, you go on back home. Dedicate your talents to God. Dedicate your money to God. Dedicate your lives to God. Have you ever heard the story about the chicken and the hog? Talking about total commitment. Chicken said, "There goes a hungry man. Let's feed him." Hog said, "What are we going to give him?" Chicken said, "How many eggs?" Hog said, "No." He said, "You'd be making a donation, but I'd be making a total commitment." Amen. You'd be making a donation, but I'd be making a total commitment. We got a lot of chickens that lay an egg and make a donation, but we don't have many that will make a total commitment of their lives to God. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. I'll assure you in the name of Jesus, if you'll make a commitment of everything that God's Word teaches us about, you'll have more, you'll be blessed, you'll have the smile of God, you won't have to get mad when somebody mentions money, you can just shout and dance and wave your hands, you can have the glory and the victory of God in your soul. Say praise God. He said you're disqualified. He's not going to use a person that's stealing from God. You wouldn't hardly pick that person to be a commander-in-chief. He said, if you have planted a vineyard, you hadn't eaten anything of the fruit, you're going back home, you're unfit for battle. I said, God, what are you trying to say? He said, if they've been fruitless in their efforts. In other words, let me show you something. A lot of people think if they get behind a pulpit across the waters, they'll be fruitful. If you've never handed out a tract and you've never told anyone about Jesus on your job, amongst your relatives, you've never told anybody about Jesus, what makes you think if you get a Sunday school class or you start preaching or you cross the waters, you're going to begin to get fruitful? He said, you've never even tasted one grape. He said, you go back home, you're fruitless. If you've never knocked on one door, I believe that is a secret of the greatest work of evangelism there is, to go into the highways and to the hedges and compel them to come in. If you've never knocked on a door, if you've never handed out a tract, if you've never picked up the phone and invited one person to church, you've never stopped your automobile in the house of one house and got somebody to go to church. He said, if you've been fruitless, did you know if you call them, someone else picks them up. I preach, they come to altar, somebody prays them through. We've all got a star in our crown. Amen. He said, if you are engaged and you hadn't got married, he said, you're going back home, you're unqualified. What does he mean by this? Unfulfilled obligations, unfulfilled vows. You made a... Hear me tonight. The Holy Spirit showed me some people that have problems with what I'm preaching. I know you're having problems, but listen, you've got to get over the problem. See, you've got to get where you don't get mad and you don't get stirred. You just say, God, that's me. And thank you, Lord, that you spoke to me because you want to bless me. And thank you, God, that you spoke to me because you want to use me on the firing line. And God, I do want a sickle, and I do want to be in the harvest. Listen, don't have problems with the truth. Just say, God, you said that I shall know the truth, and the truth shall make me free. Don't get wretched and miserable with the truth. Just bow your knee to the truth of God. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you have, how many, on the sound of my voice tonight, you made vows to God. Lord, if you'll bless me with a job, I'll do this. I'll do that. God, if you'll heal my wife, heal my baby. You have made vows. You've got commitments you've never kept. You owe people that you've never paid. And you've never even picked up the phone. You picked it up to borrow it. You got a car somewhere or another to go get the money. You got enough gas. You got somebody to take you to get it. Then for God's sake, have enough man about you. Have enough woman about you when you get the money to get in the car and go pay them or pay down on it. You say, I don't have it all. You can at least go see that person
and say, I can pay you a dollar a week, I can pay you 50 cents a week, but I want you to know that I'm a man or a woman of my word, and you loan this to me in good faith, I'm going to tell you something, you're going to be lost. If your word's no good, you are no good. If your word is no good, you are no good. You're just as good as your word. No better, no worse. If a person tells me something, I believe that a Christian's word should be stronger than a sinner's vow in court. Oath in court. I believe that my yes and my no should be as pure as God and better than any sinner under oath in a courtroom. And God return us as Christians back to the truth and to integrity and to living right. Someone works on your automobile and you pay them, you owe them, you pay them. If somebody does you a favor, loans you $10, helps you some way or another, you pay them. If someone gives you groceries on time, gives you anything on time, for God's sake and heaven's sake and the church's sake, don't be one of these that are deadbeats and shiftless and sorry and no good and then come to church and pop your hands and try to sing, I'll give him all the glory. Pay your bills. Tell the truth. Be faithful to God and God will bring you through. I'm going to bring this last thought out. He said, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? He said, you're going back home. He said, because your fearfulness is contaminated. It will contaminate others. He said, you'll make your brothers, if you have been around somebody just scared to death, the lightning comes and they're just a-screaming, and they'll make you nervous. Oh, they just a-screaming. They've been in my house. Oh, I said, well, what's the lightning, the thunder. If they're so scared and they're jumping on the bed and hiding in the closet, they make you nervous. Did you know when a person is scared, they'll make you scared? He said, if you're fearful, are you too afraid to talk for Jesus? Are you too afraid to hand out a tract? Are you too afraid? He said, if you've got a faint heart, I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you've got a faint heart, you need to ask God to give you a heart that's strong and a spirit that is fearless in him. Jesus said, I'll be with you. I'll go before you. Henry Ford said these words. He said, if you think you can, you are right. If you think you can't, you're right again. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You can do as much as you think you can. They don't mind blowing smoke in your face and talking filthy. They don't mind cussing God right in the booth next to you and on the job. They don't mind telling filthy jokes and rubbing it in your ears, whether you want to hear it or not. Then I don't mind singing a Christian hymn and humming on the job. I don't mind if the Lord gives me an opportunity to tell people about Jesus. I don't mind bowing my head at a restaurant and thanking God for the food. I don't mind saying praise the Lord. I don't mind pulling my Bible out on the airport and in the airplane and read it. I don't mind meditating. I'm going to tell you something tonight. This sin-sick, God-hating, Christ-rejecting world, I don't owe him a thing. Jesus butters my bread. Jesus looks out after me. He's my rock and my shelter. He's my fortress. He's my water in a weary land. Jesus is the one that set me free. I owe all that I am. I have a hope to be to him. And I will not tuck my head down to a bunch of perverts and a bunch of God-hating, Christ-rejecting world. I am a child of the King. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. I'm going to give an altar call. I want you to let the Holy Spirit just pierce into your soul. Now listen to me. Has the Lord spoke to you? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you about your income? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you about your time, your talents, being faithful to God's house? I see this church packing out. And I see God putting leaders in this church, men and women and young folks that can lead. But in order to lead, you have to be total dedicated. Nobody wants anybody to teach them something that they're not living themselves. I don't want a Sunday school teacher to teach me that don't come to church on Wednesday night and Sunday night. I don't want somebody up plowing my okra field and nailing my hide to the wall when they don't live nothing theirself. If you tell it to me, then you live it. And if you preach tithes, you pay them. And if you preach faithfulness, you get with it. We're all made out of the same mud. We want to see live what they preach. If they don't live it, we don't want to hear it. Every head bowed. Now I know, see what the Holy Spirit showed me. If I didn't love you, I'd just let you go to hell and not be used. But I just don't want the trumpet to blow and God to look at some of you men, some of you young people. You've not committed to God. That belongs to Him. You're not dedicated. You know you're not. I want to see the hands of everyone in this church say, Sister Peggy, God, nail me tonight. There's a place in my life that I need to come to that altar. I'm going to tell you, God's going to handpick some of you. He's going to handpick some of you. And I want you to be qualified for God to handpick and use. How many raise your hands all over this church and say, the Lord has spoke to me tonight. God bless you, son. God bless you. Yes, there's dozens and dozens. Just keep raising them. Just keep raising them. God bless you, my brother. I want to lay hands on you tonight. I saw you in the spirit, and I saw myself laying hands on you. Oh, hallelujah. God's going to do a miracle for you tonight. How many more raise your hands and say, Sister Peggy, God's talked to me. I have been bursted by preachers. I have been hit. But I just went to the altar and said, God, you forgive me.
Yes.
I want to be right.
That's where it starts.
And I'm wrong in that area, God. Forgive me. I do want to be right. All I can do, you see, when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, I want to obey. I'm asking the last time, have any more raise your hands and say, Sister Peggy, God's talking to me. I want to come tonight and make a total commitment of my life. I don't want to be disqualified. God bless you. God bless you. I say, yes, yes. God bless you, son. Yes, yes, yes. All right, I want every one of you tonight as they play and sing the closing hymn. I'm going to lay hands on every one of you if I possibly can. I know young people here and husbands and wives that God's going to use. Would you slip out of your pew and come tonight and bend your knee, make a total commitment of your life? God bless you as you come.
Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be
will you come,
the Lord.
Yes, yes.
Jesus be.